Acts of this chapter 4, and our text for this morning is the verse 14. Acts of this 4 and verse 14. And the anger of the Lord was kindled against Moses, as he said, "Is not Aaron the Levite thy brother? I know that he can speak well. And also, behold, he cometh forth to meet thee. And when he seeth thee, he will be glad in his heart." My subject this morning, my regard is a rather strange one. The subject is playing second fiddle. Because that's what Aaron did. He played, as we would say, second fiddle to Moses. I want to consider this man Aaron this morning, and so often Aaron's life can be overshadowed by Moses, which again emphasizes the fact that he played second fiddle to Moses, took second place, as it were, in the ministry of Moses. And when God called Moses to be Israel's deliverer, we know how Moses presented to the Lord five reasons why he couldn't do the job that the Lord had called him to. The reasons were no more than vain excuses, as we've already looked at those excuses. Excuses that came from a man who had been assured of success and had been assured of victory, because God had given him those promises. God told him that his presence would be with him, and God told him he would go forth in the power, demonstration, and might of Jehovah. We have before us the final two excuses that were presented to the Lord by Moses. They are recorded there in verse 10 and verse 13. Now there in verse 10, Moses said, O my Lord, I am not eloquent, neither heretofore nor since thou hast spoken unto thy servant, but I am of a slow speech and of a slow tongue. And then the outcome of that was, as far as Moses was concerned, he told the Lord, "Send somebody else." Verse 13, and he said, "O my Lord, send, I pray thee, by the hand of him whom thou wilt send. Send somebody else, because I am a man of a slow tongue and slow speech." Well, now that is interesting, because we read over in the Acts of the Apostles, in Acts chapter 7, and there we read in Acts 7 and verse 22, "And Moses was learned in all the wisdom of the Egyptians," listen, "and was mighty in words and in deeds." So here we have Moses saying that he was of a slow speech and a slow tongue. And yet we read over there in Acts 7 that Stephen records for us, or reports for us, that he was mighty in words. So how can we reconcile the two? Well, let's take the word mighty. The word mighty means able or powerful. While Moses may have been slow of tongue, nevertheless, he was still able to speak. And what he said was powerful. It wasn't as if Moses couldn't speak at all. Moses simply regarded himself as being of a slow speech and slow of tongue, and therefore he couldn't really go and speak to Pharaoh. The same word mighty, now this is interesting, the same word mighty is found in Luke chapter 24. You turn to Luke 24. And there in Luke 24 we have the testimony of the Emmaus disciples. The Lord has drawn near and gone with them. They did not recognize him, and he asked them why they were sad and cast down, and they said, have you not heard about what has happened? The things that have happened in Jerusalem. And the Lord said, what things? And we read in verse 19, Luke 24, verse 19, and he said unto them, what things? And they said unto him, concerning Jesus of Nazareth, which was a prophet, there it is, mighty in deed and word before God and all the people. Practically the same phrase that's used to describe Moses is the words that are used to describe Christ and his ministry. So that tells me that while Moses may have been slow of tongue and slow of speech, yet he could still speak, and what he said was powerful. It was mighty. Like the Lord Jesus Christ, we know his speech was mighty, and it was plain, because we're told the common people heard him gladly. Moses may have been slow of tongue, but his speech was like that of Christ, powerful and plain. There is no harm in someone, let's say a preacher. There is no harm in, say, a preacher of the word who speaks slowly, who is slow of tongue. There's no harm in that. He will speak slow, and he may speak deliberate. But there's one thing for sure. The people who are listening to him will hear every word. The way you hear some people say, that person speaks so fast, I can't understand, I can't get a word they're saying. Well, if a preacher is slow of tongue and slow of speech, that means he's deliberate in his delivery of the word. There's no harm in that. That's how Moses spoke. And he thought that that was a drawback for him going and speaking to Pharaoh. But we're told, and we have learned, that what he said was mighty, was powerful. But we see that Moses kept putting up these excuses. And the Lord was finally angry with Moses, with all of his excuses. And the Lord said to him in verse 12, the Lord told Moses that he would be with his mouth and teach him what he should say. So there was Moses. He may have been slow of tongue and slow of speech, but the Lord says, I'll be with your mouth, and I'll be with your tongue, and I'll teach you what to say. Now Moses couldn't get anything better than that. But then the Lord said to him, verse 14, is not Aaron the Levite thy brother? Do you not have a brother called Aaron? You see, God was going to send Aaron, his elder brother, with him. And when necessary, Aaron would do the speaking. Aaron was the oldest son of Amram and Jochebed of the tribe of Levi. We know that from Exodus 6 and there in verse 20. And Amram took him, Jochebed, his father's sister, to wife, and she bare him Aaron and Moses. We're told in Exodus 7 and verse 7 that Aaron was 3 years older than Moses. We read in verse 7, and Moses was 80 years old, and Aaron 83 years old when they spake unto Pharaoh. See? Aaron was the eldest. But Aaron, as we pointed out, played second fiddle to Moses. Moses was the leader. And Aaron would help him, or Aaron would assist him. Aaron, being the firstborn, yet he served under Moses. He, as we would say, played second fiddle to Moses, even though he was older than Moses. So looking at Aaron, we see him as the man who played second fiddle to Moses. I want to consider Aaron today, whose life, as we already pointed out, was somewhat overshadowed by Moses. Well, we want to look into the shadow of Moses, as it were, and look at the life of Aaron. I want us to look, first of all, at Aaron and his calling. Aaron and his calling. Aaron was called of God. We know that from Hebrews. We read in Hebrews 5 and verse 4. And no man taketh this honor unto himself, but he that is called of God, as was Aaron. He that was called of God, as was Aaron. Paul is referring there to the priesthood. But nevertheless, Aaron was called of God. And being called of God into the priesthood, Exodus 28 and verse 1. But Aaron was called of God to labor with Moses. He was called of God to labor with Moses. To be second fiddle to Moses. To labor in the shadow of Moses. Here we notice then, regarding his calling, first of all, his service. What was the service that Aaron was called to perform? According to what we have read here in Exodus 4, and there in verse 14, Aaron had been chosen and called by God to be one who would help and who would assist Moses. God told Moses that Aaron was on his way to meet him because God had called him. You look there in the verse 27, and the Lord said to Aaron, go into the wilderness to meet Moses. And he went and met him in the mount of God and kissed him. There's the call of God. God called Aaron to go and meet with Moses. So the word of meeting in the wilderness. And they did meet. So he was called to join with Moses and be his helper. That was his service. In the Lord's work, in the Lord's work, helpers are always needed. Aaron was to be Moses' helper. In the Lord's work, helpers are always needed. Indeed, the Lord has made it plain that He has a place for helpers in His work and in His service. We know that from 1 Corinthians. For there in 1 Corinthians in chapter 12, we read in the verse 28, and God has set some in the church. God has set some. Mark the words. God has set some in the church. Not necessarily in the mission field. In the church. First apostles. Secondarily prophets. Thirdly teachers. After that miracles. Then gifts of healing. Helps. God has set some in the church. He has set helpers in the church. Those who would help in the church. And this is a position, this is a service that God Himself has chosen and told and said that that is a work to be done in the local assembly. It's always good to have willing helpers. Those who will say, is there anything I can do? Well, in many ways, Aaron was like that. That was the service he was called to. To help Moses. And as we've just seen in 1 Corinthians 12 and 28, helps are needed in the local church. It is good to have working helpers. Those whose help make a difference. When speaking about those who were involved with him in the ministry, the Apostle Paul spoke and mentioned by name those who helped him. You turn there to Romans chapter 16. And here you have Moses drawing up his roll of honor, if you like. All who were involved with him in the Lord's work. And we read then in Romans 16, verse 3. Greet Priscilla and Aquila, my helpers in Christ Jesus. I want you to notice something. The fact that Paul mentioned the names of his helpers tells me that he regarded their service as being important. He took time to mention their names. Greet Priscilla and Aquila, my helpers. They helped me in the Lord's service. Verse 9. Salute Urban, our helper in Christ, and Stachys, my beloved. You notice again. In verse 3, greet Priscilla and Aquila, my helpers in Christ Jesus. Verse 9, salute Urbane, our helper in Christ. That's what made the difference. Priscilla and Aquila and Urbane and all others, they helped Paul. They did it for Christ. They did it because they were in Christ. They were God's people. They were obviously willing workers to help in Christ. And there's a little chorus that says, I'll do it all for Jesus. I'll do it all for Jesus. Why? Because he's done so much for me. These individuals were Christians. They were in Christ. And being in Christ, they sought to help further the cause of the gospel. And being in Christ, they were doing it for Christ. They were doing it for him. That's why we help whenever we can in the Lord's work. Here, we do it because we are in Christ, because we're Christians. And we want to do it as unto the Lord, for his honor and his glory, to help further the cause of the kingdom. That was his service, as far as Aaron was concerned. It was to be a helper of Moses. As well as his service, we also have his speech. Now Moses said that he was slow of speech and slow of tongue. Now what was the speech of Aaron like? Well, the Lord himself tells us. We read in verse 14. Exodus 4, verse 14. The anger of the Lord was kindled against Moses, and he said, Is not Aaron the Levite thy brother? I know that he can speak well. I know that he can speak well. There's the contrast. You have on the one hand Moses, who was the leader, who would be the deliverer. God chose Moses, not Aaron, to be the leader. Even though Moses was slow of tongue and slow of speech, he's the man God chose to deliver Israel out of Egypt. Even though Aaron, his older brother, and again he was older than Moses, God didn't choose Aaron to be the leader, even though he was the older of the two, and even though he could speak well. That shows us the sovereignty of God. If man had had anything to do with that, man would have said, Oh, Aaron, you're the man to lead Israel. Like, you're a good speaker. You can speak well. And after all, you're the older of the two. That's what man would have said. But God chose Moses, the younger of the two, and the one who was slow of tongue, and the one who was slow of speech. But the point is this also. The Lord chose both men. The one who was slow of tongue, and the other who could speak well. God is sovereign. And God can take any individual. This proves it. This proves it here. God can take any individual and use them to his glory. And use them to the extension of his kingdom. He chose Moses, one who was slow of speech. He chose Aaron, the one whom the Lord said, I know he can speak well. He used the both of them. I remember when I was first saved, going along to the church prayer meeting. Never prayed in public in my life. And sitting there and listening to other believers pray. And I remember thinking to myself, I could never pray like that, brother. I could never pray like that, sister. And of course the day came I did open my mouth for the first time in public, stammered out a few words, but got the victory. But the point is, the Lord can use any one of us. And we may say, some may say, but I am slow of speech. Was that the man that God chose? God chose Moses, the one who was slow of speech, to be Israel's leader and deliverer, not Aaron. Aaron was the one who could speak well, yet he was put in the position to be a helper, Moses. This is emphasized. You turn, please, to Corinthians, 1 Corinthians chapter 2. And this is something that should encourage us all. That no matter what our weaknesses are, that we feel, anyway, that our weaknesses are, the Lord can still take us and use us. You look there, 1 Corinthians chapter 2. Verse 1, and I, brethren, when I came to you, came not with the excellency of speech. Hear that. I came not to you with excellency of speech. Here's the mighty apostle. I came not with excellency of speech or of wisdom declaring unto you the testimony of God. For I determined not to know anything among you save Jesus Christ and Him crucified. Paul just saying there, what I'm interested in, not interested in my lack of excellency of speech, I'm interested in your eternal welfare. I say it not, I determined not to know anything among you save Jesus Christ and Him crucified. That's all I'm interested in. Whenever you think of my speech, I want you to know I'm interested in your soul's eternal welfare. Then he goes on to say, and I was with you in weakness and in fear and much trembling. Verse 4, and my speech, and my preaching was not with enticing words of man's wisdom, but in the demonstration of the Spirit and the power. Is not the very thing the Lord told Moses? I will be with your mouth. I will be with your tongue. I will tell you what to say. Never you mind about being slow of speech. Never you mind about being slow of tongue. I'll be with your mouth. And I'll put in your mouth the words that I want you to say. And here's Paul. And Paul says, I came not unto you with excellency of speech. The words excellency of speech mean his speech would not overwhelm anyone. Down through the years, there have been great orators. And really, their speech, in a sense, would overwhelm you. You know, the words that they use. Paul wasn't like that. That's what he says. He says, my speech would not overwhelm you. I came not unto you with excellency of speech. I wouldn't overwhelm anyone listening to me by my speech alone. And then in verse 4, he says, my speech and my preaching was not with the enticing words. The word enticing means fair speech. Paul says, all these things about his own speech. He says, I didn't have excellency of speech. He said, I didn't use enticing words, the fair language of man's wisdom. I didn't come to you with any of these gifts. But notice what Paul said. In verse 4, but my speech and my preaching was not with enticing words of man's wisdom, but in demonstration of the Spirit and of power. Paul's power came not from his own lips or his own tongue. We have seen. He didn't speak with excellency of speech, but he did speak with the power and the demonstration of the Spirit of God. That's where the answer is. You see, believer, the Lord can use any one of us here today. You say, oh, I can't speak. I'm slow of tongue. Those of us who went down to Toronto on Wednesday night and listened to Mr. and Mrs. Briggs, her mission resides on the Ivory Coast, West Africa. When Mr. Briggs spoke, it was very apparent immediately that he had an impediment in his speech. I know years ago it was worse. But there's many a man would have looked at her brother Paul and said, there's no way you can become a missionary because you have an impediment in your speech. Well, that's the very man God chose. That's the very man God called. And what's he doing? He's translating the Word of God into the local language. Isn't that amazing? The very man who had an impediment in his speech was the man that God chose to go to the mission field and to do the work of translation. And we are wonderful God. Here he is. He chose Moses, who was slow of tongue and slow of speech, to be Israel's deliverer. He chose Paul, an apostle, to be a great missionary, a great evangelist, a great theologian, a great church planter, a mighty man. Who, Paul said, did not speak with excellency of speech. He did not use enticing words. Amazing. And again, as I say that, every one of us should take heart. We may look at others. Boy, I've listened to many a preacher and say, wish I could preach like that man. But the Lord takes individuals. He takes the individual. He has called them. He has chosen them. He has called them. He equips them. He uses them. Makes a difference when God is in control of the individual. God can and has taken men who were slow of speech, filled them with the power of the Spirit of God, and made them firebrands for himself. Paul also tells us what others thought about his speech. In 2 Corinthians 11, and there in verse 6, Paul says, but though I be rude in speech, That's what they thought of him. But though I be rude in speech, yet not in knowledge, but we have been truly made manifest among you in all things. But though I be rude in speech. In other words, there were those who looked upon Paul and they thought he was just too plain, if you like, too straightforward. They said, Paul, you're rude in speech. Well, you know something? They said the same thing about one of God's great evangelist preachers, W.P. Nicholson. W.P. Nicholson was mightily used of God in the 40s and the 50s in Northern Ireland and in America, and he came to Canada. W.P. Nicholson spoke the working man's language. He held a gospel campaign in the center of Belfast, in the Ulster Hall, 6,000. He held his gospel campaign in the Ulster Hall in Belfast. And the men who worked in the shipyard, Harland and Wolff shipyard in Belfast, they had quite a distance to come. I would say 4 or 5 miles from where the shipyard is to this present day, to the Ulster Hall, by 4 to 5 miles. Those men didn't go home to get ready for the meeting. They left the shipyard in their overalls, and they walked to the Ulster Hall to hear Nicholson preach. Why? Because he spoke their language. They could understand him. And W.P. Nicholson was a man who was filled with the Holy Ghost. Nicholson was a man who agonized over souls. I told you before about him preaching in a gospel campaign in some particular location, and he was staying in a home, and he told the lady of the house that evening not to call him for his breakfast, but rather to bring his breakfast and leave it outside the door of his room. The lady did that. The next morning left the tray and the breakfast at outside the door of his room. She went by at lunchtime, the breakfast was still sitting there. She went by again in the afternoon, the breakfast was still sitting there. Nicholson, no, he wasn't lying, sleeping. He was on his knees agonizing in prayer. And when he eventually did come out of the room and go and get his supper and then off to the meeting, the lady of the house went into the room to, well, just to rectify things, tidy things up and make the bed. And she noticed the sheets on the bed had been torn into ribbons. Nicholson had been on his knees, agonizing in prayer. And as he agonized in prayer, unknown to himself, he was tearing the sheets on the bed, agonizing over soul. Nicholson was a man. The same words could be used to describe him as we used to describe Paul. He was rude of speech. Remember my grandfather telling me about him going and listening to Nicholson, told me many a story about Nicholson. But Nicholson was a man full of the Holy Ghost. God was with his mouth, and God was with his tongue. and Nicholas would preach with mighty power. Even though he was a man who was rude of speech, God mightily used him to the salvation of thousands. And that's no exaggeration. God was going to use Moses, a man who was slow of speech and of a slow tongue. He's also going to use Aaron, a man when God said, I know he speaks well. You have the contrast of the two different men and how they spoke. God used the both of them. God used the both of them. And the amazing thing is, he chose Moses, the man who was slow of tongue and slow of speech, to play the leader role, to be leader of the world. And Aaron, the man who spoke well, to play, as it were, second fiddle to Moses, to be his helper. We notice his service and his speech. We notice the separation. This is something which is not immediately, may not be immediately apparent, separation. But consider the fact that Aaron was born during Israel's captivity in Egypt, before Pharaoh decreed that all the male infants were to be killed. All the male Israelite children were to be slaughtered. Aaron and Moses were born before that. But Aaron was there in Egypt for 40 years, over 40 years. That means he had spent 40 years or more in Egypt among a heathen people, among idol worshippers, among a people who did not know the God of Israel. And yet, after spending 40 years amongst a heathen people and an idol worshipping people, God called Aaron. Now, if Aaron had a joy with the Egyptians in their worship of idols, God would not have called him to be a helper to Moses. That tells me that Aaron had lived a separated life. Separated himself from false religions and false teaching and from the way of the Egyptians. After all, God did communicate with Aaron. And if Aaron had been wrapped up in idol worship, God would not have communicated with him. God would not have communed with Aaron. We know that he did, because we're reading the verse 27 of Exodus 4. And the Lord said to Aaron. So there we have that Aaron receiving a communication from God. There we have Aaron's separation. Aaron, during those 40 years of captivity in Egypt, Aaron separated himself from the ways of the Egyptians. What a lesson there is there. We want God to use us. There needs to be the living of a separated life, a life that is separated unto God. We read in Romans chapter 1 and verse 1, Paul, a servant of Jesus Christ, called to be an apostle, separated unto the gospel of God. He couldn't be a servant of the Lord. He couldn't be an apostle of Jesus Christ if he wasn't separated unto the Lord himself and unto the gospel of God. And what did Paul say in those familiar words? Romans 12, verse 1. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. Those are familiar words, but look carefully. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy. H-O-L-Y. Paul could easily have said, W-H-O-L-L-Y. Present your bodies holy, completely. But he used the word holy, H-O-L-Y. What does the word holy speak to us of? Speaks to us of separation. You can't be holy and live for the world and live like the world. You can't be holy. And then he says, present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable further service. We want to serve the Lord. These will be holiness. Holiness and service should always go hand in hand. So God not only knew that Aaron can speak well, God also knew that Aaron lived well. He lived separated life. We'll have to leave it there for today. We'll take up the study again next week when we'll look at Aaron and his character. May the Lord bless the word, and may we take encouragement from this. That when Moses was the one who was slow of tongue and slow of speech, he was the one God chose. And Aaron could speak well. And Aaron was the one who was Moses' helper. It was very opposite to the way we were looking. Shows us the Lord can take any one of us. Whatever we think of ourselves, that's what God thinks of us at heart. God can take us and use us to be His helpers in His work for His work. That's all it's there. Our loving God, we bless Thee for the encouragement we receive from the Word. We thank Thee, O Lord, for this man Aaron, and how Thou dost call him and use him to be a helper in Thy work. O may we all, Lord, be helpers in the Lord's work, helping to spread the good news that Jesus saves. Lord, be with us now as we part the one from the other. Take us, Lord, to our homes in safety, and be pleased to return us this evening, Lord, to learn more about our blessed Savior. Grant us all childhood mercy now. In the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit, abide and remain with us now.